5 tonight, and Zechariah chapter 1. First Peter 5 and Zechariah chapter 1. I think I said Zechariah 1, it's Zechariah 3, sorry. All right, Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1. He showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. 1 Peter chapter 5, and go down to verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Let's pray. Well, Father, once again, come back tonight and ask you to meet with us. These words are your words. They're not like any other words on the face of this earth. And you put things together and string them together for a reason. I pray that you might give us insight here tonight for something that matters a lot. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, both those pictures, there's context to them and so on. You have in Zechariah 3, you have Joshua the high priest standing and Satan standing to resist him. In this passage, in verse 5, you have God resisting the proud, and you're also admonished as a Christian in verse 9 to resist the devil. And right now, a lot of stuff's going on. You've got kids. Brother Dave said last night by text that there were some good decisions made this week at camp meeting. And so that's a blessing. Got other folks headed off to Bible school, and there's going to be stuff happen there before it's all over. For sure, you've got us trying to fight here and issues on the street. State Fair coming up, Estonia, with every campaign in a faraway place like that, there's always logistical issues. Well, who's behind all this trouble? And so that's one of the things that folks always talk about and think about is, where is this trouble coming from, and so on. Well, I hope to maybe be able to provide some answers for that. This is not a shoe that fits every foot, I'll grant you that, but it'll fit a lot of the feet that you're dealing with. You know, young men, young women enter into life on a life's journey, and some of them go into it naively, thinking that they're going to survive on their good looks and a nice car and a decent job. Others enter into it kind of into the situation where they think that because they have an education, a big degree and stuff, that gives them the answers they need. Others plan to feel their way through the thing, and some have a spiritual background that should equip them to see some things, and they still don't get it. So by the time somebody reaches 35 or 40 or 45, they realize, looking at their lives are not hardly at all like they anticipated they would be. The marriage isn't like they had planned. The kids aren't as they planned. The career didn't turn out quite as they planned. And things in general just seem to kind of go to hell in a handbasket. And there's many a man and woman my age that's a shipwreck altogether. They have no answers, and they have no idea really even how they wound up where they are. Life will flat sure kick you in the backside if you're not careful and if you don't know what you're doing. And if you don't know what you're doing spiritually, and if you don't know how to read some things, read the winds, things are going to get rough in a hurry. And so for me, people come all the time asking, and they will you too, You know, why did this happen to me? Why do good things happen to bad people? And, you know, what's the source of this trouble? And there's not always a clear, precise answer because sin is tangled. It's a rat's nest. And so sometimes it's the devil and sometimes it's God and sometimes it's a combination of stuff. And sometimes it's just a mess that you made. Nevertheless, there's a lot to be untangled here. Let me give you a few things. You saw in Zechariah 3:1 that the devil resists man. And that's across the board. He's our enemy and he wants to get us in hell. And if he can't get us in hell, he'd like to ruin us, right? Devil resists man. According to 1 Peter 5:9, we just read it, a man is supposed to resist the devil. You read in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, I believe it was, that God resists some men. And I happen to know that man sometimes resists God. Stephen said, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. And so I can find you all kinds of places where man resisted God as well as God resisting man. I read in, I can pull from, Genesis 3, Isaiah 14, that the devil resists God. And then by proxy, that God also resists the devil. Man is supposed to resist sin. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Then there's the world who resists you and you are supposed to resist it. There's the flesh that resists you spiritually and you're supposed to resist it. Here you have two men inside you, an old man and a new man, and there's resistance between the two. Well, you know what Job 5 says. It says that man is born into trouble and the sparks fly upward. There's going to be a fire because there's a lot of resistance here. Ecclesiastes 8 says, in a slightly different context, but it's easy enough to move to this one, that there's no discharge in this war. Whether you're lost or saved, you have trouble. And what I've described to you for those several examples is what we know now as spiritual warfare. But it's also a word that you've read three times tonight in this passage. And it was kind of on that word that I kind of got snagged on and realized that, you know, this word is a key to understanding quite a bit of stuff. And while, again, it's not a shoe that fits everybody every time, there's an awful lot of it that fits an awful lot of the time. The word is resistance. Satan resisted Joshua the high priest. God resisteth the proud. We're supposed to resist the devil. Resistance. Resistance is a well-understood concept in the world. In an electrical system, Brother Steve is an electrician, resistance is an opposition to current. And it's recognized by this symbol, omega. When you try to measure resistance in an electrical circuit, it's measured in ohms. By the way, that's omega, and Jesus Christ is the alpha and the omega. So that might play into this just a little bit. It's measured in ohms, and it produces heat. Because there's conflict. Because there's resistance. You say, well, what does that equal? That equals a toaster. You just want a toaster. For as long as I've been around, toasters have basically remained the same. Now you can get toasters with 46 different slots. But it all equals the same thing. Because there's a wire in there that's curled around. And all that happens is electrical current is run through it. And the wire gets hot, red hot, and toasts the bread. If you have an electric oven or an electric stove in your kitchen, all that the stove top is a resistor. And electric current goes through it, and depending on how high you turn the current, that is the numbers on the little dial, your stove top will either get red hot or not so red hot, but that's all that is resistance. If you go plug in a 100-foot cord and start running a skill saw and rip down some 4x8 plywood, for a little while and then go walk halfway to the house where you plugged it in. You can reach down and pick up that cord and it's warm. It's not warm because it's been sitting in the sun. It may be that too, but it's warm because of the resistance within that electrical cord. That's resistance. It's measured in ohms, okay? And with resistance comes heat. In our terms, with resistance comes conflict. And eventually, the reason your incandescent light bulbs burn out is because there's a little wire that a current's run through it, and so it brightens up. And eventually, if you bump it or if it just wears out, that filament becomes brittle and breaks off, and then your light bulb doesn't light anymore. It's all just resistance. And if with enough resistance for long enough, I mean, eventually a stove will wear out. Those elements will become brittle. Eventually, you have to replace a extension cord, even though you didn't cut it with the skill saw. You'll still have to eventually replace it because eventually, with the heat and the resistance and the conflict in it, it burns out. Friction in physics is another type of resistance. I'm not going to bore you all night with a scientific survey here, but the reason that you can reportedly start a fire by rubbing sticks together real fast is because of friction. And friction is resistance. If you've ever been fortunate enough to reach down and touch a wheel hub on a trailer after the wheel bearing has gone out or about to go out, you will remove your hand fit quickly because there is heat in that system. And that's from friction. Political resistance sometimes leads to war, leads to infighting on a convention floor and a fight in Congress or Parliament or wherever because there's resistance there. There's even an antibiotic resistance on a micro scale where the vaccine doesn't kill or the antibiotics doesn't kill the microbes anymore, and so there's death on a microscopic scale, but that's resistance, okay? Now, with that said, there are some things that I can say spiritually. First of all, I can say that and we've seen resistance here in these two passages three times. Resistance guarantees conflict. Guarantees conflict. There will be heat in an electrical system. There will be heat in moving mechanical parts. You either have to grease them or cool them or something somehow, some way. There will be controversy in political systems and societies. But spiritually, you need to get this. Satan resists God. God resists Satan. Satan resists man. Man's supposed to resist Satan. God resists man if he's wicked. And man often resists God. And then you add into that, for the rest of the spider web, the world and the flesh and the conflict between flesh and spirit, and you have something prime for conflict. Because there's resistance in there. You put God and the devil in a room and there's going to be fire because they hate each other's guts. And then you put a man in there in the middle to be between them where God's trying to do something through that guy and the devil's trying to mess up God through that guy. There's going to be resistance. There's going to be a flame. And that's where you wind up sometimes in trouble. First of all, a troubleless existence is a pipe dream. If you're looking for a utopia besides heaven, where you can go and have a nice peaceful time in a nice peaceful place and the water's always calm and there's never issues with taxes or children misbehaving or problems, you can forget it. And you can forget it because God is interested in you. And you can forget it because the devil's interested in you. And because you have a nature that tends to resist God and it'll go with the devil. And sometimes if you're doing well, by God's grace, you'll labor to resist the devil. Well, in any and all of those things, there's resistance. In any of all those things, there's conflict. And so there's going to be trouble. The Bible simply guarantees problems no matter what you do, and no matter who you serve. If you think it's going to be much better for you in not serving God, and therefore they that will love godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, so you can avoid persecution by not serving Jesus Christ, it's only going to go so far, because I'll tell you what, God's going to resist you because you resist Him. There's just going to be trouble. People only appear to live without trouble. You just don't see all that's going on. And maybe for a little time they have a quiet spot and that's all fine, but everybody faces their battles and everybody faces their troubles. And whether you're lost or saved, whether you're lost and not even trying, whether you're saved and trying or saved and not even trying, you're still going to have trouble because there's resistance no matter whom you go with. And so if you're going to try to avoid trouble, you might as well try to have a picnic in a hurricane, because it ain't going to happen. The other thing about it is this is a fairly simple thing. By that I mean, you know, you look at current flowing through an extension cord. The current flows one way and there's resistance the other way. It's just two arrows pointing at each other like that, and there's heat that comes out of it. At the same time, I mean, when you get down to it, you're trying to serve God, if you are, and the devil's resisting you. So there's going to be heat. Or you're resisting God and trying to go with the world, and so God's going to resist you. Either way you go, there's going to be trouble. Now, with that said, we've guaranteed the conflict. Let me say that begs the question. Where there's smoke, there's fire, right? Where there are conflicts and trouble, there's resistance. You don't have a fight where everybody agrees. If everybody's in perfect agreement, there's not a fight. If everybody on the political floor agrees with one another, there's no debate. And so it is, you can't have a war just for exercise. And so, if everything is fine and dandy with all parties, nothing happens. But that's why there's always resistance. That's why there's always trouble. Is because not everybody is ever all happy. You cannot please all these parties at once. And so, in the end, it begs the question. The question that's begged is, whom do you resist? Against what do you resist? Title of the message, I should have already told you, is the ohms. The title of the message is, dude, it's all about the ohms, or something to that effect, but it's all about the ohms, man. And that's the approach that I'm taking with this tonight. I know that it doesn't work absolutely all the way across the board all the time, but this is the other side of you serving God. If you're going to serve God, then there's something that you must be doing. And you can't not do this and serve God. If you're going to serve God, you're going to have to resist the devil. And you're going to have to resist the world. And you're going to have to resist the flesh. If you're going to resist those, there's going to be a fire. There's going to be sparks fly. There's going to be trouble. The sparks will fly upward. And if you're supposed to serve God and you don't, then you're resisting God and going with them. And God's resisting you, by the way, as well. And there's going to be a fire. There's going to be trouble. There's going to be conflict. Right? So it begs the question, who are you serving? A man cannot serve both God and mammon. He can't serve both God and the flesh. He can't serve both God and the devil or the world at the same time. There's going to be big trouble. And there's going to be trouble anyway. I'm not trying to depress you, but considering who here has trouble. 100%, right? Everybody's got trouble at some level. If you're not sick with cancer, you got something else going on. The reason that there's trouble oftentimes is nothing more than figuring out where the resistance is. If you're trying to serve God then I promise you the devil will resist you and you're going to have to resist him. There's going to be fire. You will need to resist the world. You'll have to. And by the world, by the way, the world will resist you trying to serve God. And so there's going to be trouble. If you decide to compromise and go a little ways with the world and go a little ways with the devil, then God's going to resist you and there's going to be a fire. And along the way, you'll be resisting God and there's still going to be sparks fly. And that's really the point. This is kind of a, without getting metaphysical or New Agey about it, it's kind of a yin and yang thing. I mean, where you push one way, there's a pull the other. If I can reach down and curl 50 pounds, well, 50 pounds curled is also 50 pounds pressing down. It's just that way there, where there's one thing, there's another. This is the other side of service. The other side of service, serving God, is resistance. You're going to get resistance from the other way. But if you don't serve God, you're going to get resistance from Him. And there's still going to be trouble. So I'm here with the happy news that you're going to have trouble. I'm here with the glorious good news from the far country that there's going to be a fire. And you cannot avoid it. Now, there are some advantages to this because it helps you to categorize the trouble. Now, again, I approach this a little bit cautiously because sometimes you can misdiagnose. I'll say more about it in a second. But these things I've written unto you that you might have peace. In this world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world, right? The age-old questions. What did I do wrong? What did I do to deserve this? Right? It's in the ohms, man. Those ohms. It's in the ohms. Whom are you resisting? Who's resisting you? Let me put it to you this way. A kid refuses to take out the trash when his mom tells him to. She's told him four times today and he has yet to take out the trash. Furthermore, as she's baking cookies and setting them out on a cookie plate to cool, in the process of not taking out the trash, he keeps showing up and stealing cookies. And she's told him five or six times. And the next time he walks by the trash can and goes for the cookies, he winds up on his back. And he wakes up with his mother standing over him with an 8-inch skillet that's still slightly ringing, that resonant sound, ding. Okay, who resisted him? Well, it wasn't the devil. When you kick the school bully in the shin, who's going to pound your face? Probably not the school bully's girlfriend. No, you mess with the school bully, and the school bully will pound your face. If you're going to resist the IRS, who's going to give you trouble? Right? I mean, you can kind of predict who you're going to get trouble from by whom you're giving trouble. What if you kind of resist remembering when your anniversary is? Who's going to make you sleep on the couch? Well, it won't be your 12-year-old. You can't blame him. No, she's going to make you sleep on the couch. And, okay, I'll get off that, but here's the deal. What happened to you this morning? You got up and you were going to go to church. And somebody here experienced resistance getting to church. The dog left a present. The cat barfed up a hairball. The kid spilled oatmeal down his front after he was dressed, and y'all got in the car at each other's throats because now you're late and we're going to worship God. Now, who you think was resisting you trying to get to church? The Holy Ghost? Probably not. See, you can categorize that trouble as most likely the devil intervening. Right? I mean, when you are trying, you've committed this week, you've committed in your mind to go on visitation or to go street preaching or to go out of your way to go to the parade thing or the state fair coming up, that sort of thing. And as you get nearer that hour when you've got to leave home, there are dozens of thoughts, there are dozens of voices that speak in your ear, and there's all kinds of things that come up to keep you from going and serving God as you've decided you will. There's resistance. If the hot water heater blows just before you leave, who's probably behind that? Your choices are A, God, or B, the devil. And you're going to pass out tracts. Well, duh, I don't think that's real hard. Right? I mean, in a way, this kind of helps you figure out who it is that's giving you trouble. If you're full of pride and you keep getting smacked upside the head because, for instance, this morning you were in front of the mirror flexing to see if you still had it, and about the time you thought you still had it, there was something that happened in your back, and now who was in charge of that? The devil? Probably not. You and your wife are going to get away for a weekend. You're going to go to Duluth. But secretly, you each kind of like to play the slots a little bit. So on the way to Duluth, you stop into Honkley. And you eat at the buffet and slip over to the other side for a little while. And as you pull out, you have to stop by Toby's for a cream puff or whatever it is that they bake up there. And all four wheels fall off your car at the same time. Now, who's responsible for that? The devil? Probably not. Now, that one might be the Holy Ghost. Amen. Look, folks, my point here is that, you know, who resists an obedient child? Who resists a disobedient child? So, if an obedient child has got trouble, then you kind of have a pretty good idea of who's resisting the obedient child. In other words, you can kind of figure out who it is that's giving you trouble, because you can tell by whom you're trying to serve, who you're walking with, where the resistance is coming from. Now, again, there may be some, there are some exceptions to this, but a guy that refuses to grow in front of his wife spiritually and lead her, keeps getting a 2x4 upside the head. Now, who's trying to get his attention? Well, anybody with two neurons to rub together knows that's God. Either this is really deep or else, because it's really quiet and people are just kind of looking at me. I don't know. Maybe my examples aren't the best in the world. But you basically get to choose. This means that you basically get to choose, in some regard, the direction from which your trouble comes. So if you want to arm wrestle God, you just resist Him and go with the world. And if you want to walk with God and you get trouble because you're walking with God, then you have a pretty good clue that that's the devil resisting you. Does that make sense? Well, along that line, I'd like to say I do recognize, and this is why I keep kind of qualifying it a little bit, I do recognize that there's times that God resists His children trying to do good because He would like for them to do something even better than good. So somebody's trying to reach lost people, but he's doing it with rock and roll band. Well, there's a better way. And so the Lord may resist a guy doing something the wrong way even though he's trying to do the right thing the wrong way. The Lord may resist him because the guy's supposed to do it a different way. There's that. There's also the fact that because a sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, and the problem is, this is not like immediate cause and effect. If you stick your tongue to both posts of a little battery like I got in this thing here, it won't take long for you to figure out something's going on, because that's immediate. But with the Lord and with sin, it doesn't always, the reaction time does not always take place immediately. So you have that plays in. Furthermore, where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but there's much increase by the strength of the ox. And so you also have to factor in that if you're doing something worth doing, it's still going to make a mess. Right? And if you're going to own a dairy barn and get milk, then the cow is still going to have a bowel movement. And that's just nature. That's not necessarily the devil or God. But it does help you when you're thinking about these things a little bit. It does help you identify your enemy some. I mean, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Well, from the devil or from the world or from somebody else's flesh, that sort of thing. So if you're saved and you're really trying and you're really laboring and you're earnest about trying to make prayer work and you keep having a hard time in prayer, well, who's resisting you? Well, that's going to be the devil. That's going to be the flesh, right? I mean, you would never mistakenly say, God's resisting me. No, you're trying to do right. You're trying to win somebody to Christ. That's not God trying to resist you. That's the devil trying to resist you. You ought not to mope and act like a victim because you come up against resistance trying to serve God. What you can say is, that's the devil. That's messing with me. And there's no reason for you to feel like when you're trying to serve God that way for the right reasons and so on that somehow that it's God that's persecuting you and that you should quit, which is what a lot of people do, right? If you're lost, if you're even really backslidden, don't kid yourself about who's against you. I mean, you're making wrong decisions. You know they're wrong decisions. They're stupid decisions, and that's why you don't ask anybody, because they're stupid. And then you get it in the neck. Well, you know who did that? That's God. I mean, if you're going to continue to make foolish, stupid decisions that are contrary to the Bible, then you can expect the adversary to rise up and resist you. And that adversary is the Lord. Because you're resisting him, and there's going to be fire. There's going to be sparks. Positive thinking won't get you anywhere. Right? It helps you locate your spiritual position. Could think of it as the Lord's GPS. You're having trouble. You're trying to do right. And you're having trouble. Well, most likely, the main part of that trouble is coming from the devil. If you're making decisions for the world, going with the flesh, and resisting God, then in all likelihood, the resistance is coming from the Holy Spirit. So you have people sometimes that get real discouraged because, well, I tried to do right and I got, stabbed in the neck. Well, you know who stabbed you if you're trying to do right. You had to expect something. And so you shouldn't quit because, after all, that's the devil stabbing you in the neck and you're walking with God. The other way around, man, you start serving the flesh and the world and you get a 2x4 upside the head. You better think about who your adversary is. Because I have this trust. I trust that God can protect me from the attacks of the devil. But the devil's not even interested in protecting me against attacks from God. So, again, while this doesn't fit every situation, every shoe, because there's this entanglement of sin and issues, there's an awful lot that's answered by, about trouble, by resistance, by thinking about who you're resisting and who might, in retroaction, be resisting you because of what you're doing. Think about trouble along that line. Here is Brother Stewart going to a place where there is not even an independent Baptist Bible-believing missionary anymore, although there once was. Now, you think the principalities and powers of that part of the world are even the slightest bit interested in Jeremy getting in country and settling in and having a nice protected little bubble? Chances are not. Right? Going to take the light to a dark place. So, guess who's resisting Jeremy? Now, if Jeremy, Brother Stewart, has a lesson of some sort, a character lesson to learn that the Lord needs to teach him, then that may be folded into it. And again, that's why I'm trying to be careful not to just make this absolute cold and hot off and on. But as far as Jeremy Stewart and Renee's mission there, who's offering the resistance? Well, it's the devil. I mean, Brother Mark was saying Wednesday night, you know, you got this fella who is, you know, feels a little over his head with some of the troubles that are arising from the people in church. Well, who's stirring that trouble? Well, the Lord's not. That's the Lord's church. Now, if the guy has to learn a lesson and grow some maturity and that sort of thing, well, the Lord may use it for that, but who's trying to tear up Brother Mark's church, one of the meetings, while he's here? Well, that's not the Holy Ghost. That's the devil. And so, there's an awful lot that's answered by thinking about resistance in a circuit or even friction. Right? Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, I thank you tonight for these things in the Word of God. You've used this word over and over, resistance and resist. We're called to do it, Father, and we're told that part of the interaction between ourselves and our God, as well as Satan and his minions, will be this matter of resistance. And so, because it comes from both directions, 180 degrees opposite one another, we're going to have trouble whatever we do. That's the important thing. We are not going to escape trouble and conflict, and the sparks will fly. We just need to make sure the fire is the right kind of fire. I pray you might help us think about these things and be profited by it. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Number 414.